Hey, good morning, Christian Chapel. It is Easter Sunday, and we're excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with you. Actually, we're excited about the resurrection, but we're not terribly excited about how we're getting to celebrate it this year. This is honestly probably the least dressed up Easter of my life. Not like right now, this would be pretty normal, but I am actually at home right now watching this with you if you're watching it on a Sunday morning, and most likely I'm watching it in my Easter hoodie and basketball shorts, which is how I want to dress all the time, but as my wife often reminds me, I'm not 14 anymore. So it's just not quite the Easter we had expected, the Easter that we had planned for. In many ways, this is an unexpected Easter for us. This week, one of our members sent me a picture of one of our newest members at Christian Chapel. Little London Randall was born not too long ago to Jason and Lacey Randall, and this week they took her Easter picture, and I think London's face pretty much summarizes how all of us feel this year at Easter. So you can see in the photo here, they've got her all dressed up. She's got her little flower bow on that I think is required paraphernalia for little girls around Easter. She's got the flowery background. She's got the bunny, the happy Easter sign there next to her. And yet her face expresses exactly what many of us feel, like happy Easter, yeah, but not really. This is not the Easter we wanted. It's an Easter that for many of us has been defined by uncertainty, by some fear. For others of us, it's been more aggravation and anger. But in a lot of ways, it's the Easter that has brought out all the feels for all of us. And I don't mind telling you, this is not the way that I wanted to celebrate Easter with you. I love Easter Sunday at Christian Chapel. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. I love being able to see, it's kind of like family reunion Sunday. It's the one day where all of us who are part of Christian Chapel are in the same room at the same time together. And I love the fullness of it. I love the energy of it. And honestly, I'm missing that this year. I love being able to walk around the room and tease my buddies about their cute pastel shirts that their wives clearly picked out and forced them to wear. I love watching the lines out in the foyer and outside at the Easter photo booths as you line up and try to corral the preschoolers, and then your preschooler picks up the bunny that weighs as much as they do and smiles for their picture. I love all of that, and I miss all of that. And this year on Easter, it's a reminder to us that even when things are unexpected and even when things aren't exactly what we want, the resurrection of Jesus still makes a difference in our life. In fact, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 this morning, and what we'll see is that Easter, probably more than any other Christian celebration, reminds us that God often takes those seasons of frustration, of fear, of uncertainty, of anger, and he transforms them into extremely powerful moments with him. So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 this morning and talk about how Jesus turns graves into gardens. We'll start reading in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. As you start to read this story, it reminds us that the first Easter Sunday was not at all like the Easter Sundays that you and I celebrate. For you and I, we rely on a 2,000-year tradition of Resurrection Sunday celebrations. We have forms and formats built into the days and months leading up to Easter to prepare our hearts to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is why we participate in Lent. It's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's why we have a Good Friday service. All of these moments are meant to slow us down and to point us towards the reality of Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus overcomes death. But on that first Easter Sunday morning, there wasn't a lot of anticipation. There wasn't a lot of celebration. Instead, there was fear, there was uncertainty, there was doubt about exactly what had happened and how it would happen. So for just a moment, I want to ask you to place yourself in the position of the disciples on Sunday morning before they know the tomb is empty. Place yourself in the position of the women as they walk to the tomb to finish the preparations of Jesus's body, fully expecting him to still be in the grave. What are the emotions that they would have felt? What are the thoughts that would have been going through their head? And I think what we discover is they would have had a lot of fear. They would have had a lot of anxiety. They would have had a lot of doubt. The disciples, as far as we know from the scriptures, on the first Easter Sunday morning, the day begins with them in hiding. They remember what has happened to Jesus. Collectively, they have failed to stand by him. Some of them have failed more spectacularly than others, but all of them have fallen short of what they had hoped they would do in this moment. They've seen the fate that awaited Jesus on the cross. They've watched the suffering, the torture, and his death. They know that he's been laid in a tomb, and now they're together wondering if the same fate awaits all of them. And on that first Easter Sunday, there's a small group of women who head out to the tomb. And they go out to do what is required of them. They were unable to complete the burial preparations on Good Friday, and then Saturday was Sabbath, so there was no activity at all. So they get up early on Sunday morning to take the spices out. They're walking to the garden, expecting to find Jesus there and to finish the funeral preparations. This is a remarkably different experience than what you and I have on a normal Easter weekend. We normally go to bed on the Saturday night before Easter with a sense of excitement and anticipation, right? We look forward to it the same way we do the day before any other big event, before the big game, before opening night of the performance, on Christmas Eve or the night before a vacation. Many of us carry these feelings into Easter weekend, but on that first Easter, those feelings were completely absent. And so I think especially for us this year, as Easter is, yes, a reminder of the resurrection, but today is also serving as a reminder for many of us of what we've lost. We don't currently have the ability to celebrate as we want to celebrate. We're not surrounded by the people we want to be surrounded by. The future is not as clear as we want it to be. And so we can identify with the disciples on that first resurrection day. So the women, they get up early in the morning and they begin their long, slow, sad walk to the tomb. You can imagine them as they're walking out there. There's probably not a lot of conversation going on. Whatever there is, it's probably subdued. It's probably just undertones of sadness and grief. There's no urgency in their steps. It's just the slow shuffle of somebody going somewhere they don't want to be to do something they don't want to do. And you and I, we can identify with that long, slow walk to the grave. See, seasons like the one we're in currently in our nation, around the world, in our community, they present us with situations and circumstances that we don't want to deal with, but we have to deal with them. Over the last 2.5 weeks, I know in our house, for Angie and I, we've had a lot of those conversations that feel like long, slow walks to the grave, where we're trying to work through situations and circumstances and deal with problems that we didn't anticipate, we didn't plan for, and we honestly just don't want to deal with. Over the last couple weeks, my wife has had an uncle who died from the COVID-19 virus. And so we've been dealing with that as a family. And in addition to the grief and the mourning, you're also trying to navigate, well, what does a funeral look like at this time? How do I, as a pastor, help in these situations? And all of these uncertainties, can family come? Can they not? Then we've had the conversations about Angie as an emergency room nurse of, well, what does this look like? And what does this mean? And so many talks over so many days. We're trying to navigate it with our kids and with school changes and with schedule changes and with fear that comes to them. We're trying to navigate it as a church with, how do you pastor people who feel this way about it? And how do you pastor people who feel this way about it? And how do you pastor people who are directly impacted by it? And in all of these situations, it feels like this long, slow walk to a place we did not want to be, to deal with problems we did not ask for. And I know many of you are having the same experience during this time. And you're facing the financial difficulties of it. You're dealing with physical problems. You have anxiety, you have fear, you have anger, you have frustration. And every day that comes seems to bring more uncertainty, and it just kind of piles on. But this is where Easter is such a great encouragement to us. See, the resurrection of Jesus is more than just a good story or a nice reminder to me in this season. But for me, it's a reminder that even in that long, slow walk to the grave, I can be confident that Jesus is with me every step and that he's going to meet me when I arrive in the cemetery. So as you keep reading through Luke's account of that first Easter Sunday morning, you find the women arriving at the tomb. And when they arrive at the tomb, there's an angel who meets them there. The stone has already been rolled away. And they say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen just as he told you he would. And in that moment, the women learn a lesson that you and I continue to learn and need to be reminded of today. That Jesus turns graves into gardens. Now, the tomb that they had laid Jesus in was supposed to be the final symbol of the Roman Empire's victory over Jesus. It was going to be the religious leaders' final proof in their argument that he was not who he said he was. For both the Romans and the religious leaders, Jesus's tomb was going to be the place where they could take anyone who still gave their allegiance to him, where they could point to it and say, this is what happens to people who follow him. This is where he ends. But on that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus takes what was supposed to be the final symbol of his defeat and flips it into the first and final symbol of his victory. The grave becomes a garden of resurrection. The end of his life becomes the beginning of new life for everyone who follows him. The grave turns into a garden. You and I have had this experience in our life. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at what the scriptures teach us. Because all through the Bible, we see these graves into garden stories. In the Old Testament, we find so many stories that foreshadow and predict the arrival of Christ. We see so many times where God's people have their back against the wall with no way forward. They are literally one foot in the grave, and he comes and turns those situations into gardens of resurrection. In the New Testament, we find stories from the disciples and the apostles from the early church where we see that graves into gardens is not just something Jesus did once, but it's something he continues to do for us today. We'll finish this series by talking about how the return of Christ, his second coming, is his final statement that every grave will be turned into a garden. So we're going to walk through these ideas over the coming weeks. I hope you're able to join us as we do. I hope it's a source of encouragement and peace to you. But this morning, I want us to finish by looking at the initial response of the disciples to the idea that Jesus turns graves into gardens. So the first response we see is the women come back and they tell the disciples, this is what happened. And the disciples' response is to treat the women as if they are unreliable witnesses. In fact, it says that they thought they were just speaking nonsense. And that idea of graves into gardens, it does sound like nonsense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us when we first hear it. Now keep in mind, the disciples, they had already agreed with the resurrection in theory. Right? Remember what the angel tells women. Remember what Jesus said to you. Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be resurrected. He had taught them that he was the resurrection and the life. And in each one of these teachings, the disciples met it with an affirmative, yes, that's awesome. We believe you. We can't wait to participate. And now here they are on the first resurrection Sunday, hearing that Jesus has been resurrected. And their response is, that's nonsense. That can't be possible. You can't be trusted. Now, you and I, at times, I think, have a similar reaction. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about all the different ways that Jesus turns graves into gardens. And as we do, you are going to agree with it in theory. But then the challenge is going to come when you find yourself in the situation that feels like a grave. Do you actually believe and will you actually experience that Jesus can turn that into a garden? See, that's where it feels like nonsense to a lot of us. It's one thing to say, yes, he can turn my mourning into dancing. Until I'm the one experiencing grief, until I'm the one who has the loss that feels like it's going to crush me. In that moment, it seems like a nonsensical promise. It's one thing to say, yes, I believe he is the Lord who provides, until I have exhausted all of my resources and all of my efforts. And in that moment, it sounds like nonsense. It's one thing to say, I believe that he can heal. I believe that he can deliver until I'm the one who is stuck, who's lost, who's lonely, who's in need. We still face this temptation to hear the promises of Jesus, even as we celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday, and to think it's nonsense. But I would encourage you to move past that initial objection, to begin to see the world through the resurrection lens and understand if Jesus could do that, then he can do this. If he can handle death, then he can handle whatever I'm facing this morning. And there's a second reaction that occurs among the disciples on that first Easter Sunday. Most of them hear the women's report and they say that's nonsense, except for Peter. Now keep in mind, Peter is the one who has denied Jesus. All the disciples deserted Jesus and left, but Peter hung around long enough to deny him three times. Peter's failure was personal. Peter's failure was powerful. Peter's failure was public. It was right there in front of Jesus. And on that first Easter morning, when he hears the tomb is empty, Peter gets up and sprints back down the path the women have just walked. And he runs into the grave. And he looks down and he sees the strips of burial clothes laying in the grave. And it says that he was filled with wonder at what had happened. See, Peter's example reminds us that graves into gardens demands a response from us. It leads us to a point of this is what Jesus can do. Now, if you believe it, will you walk the path of resurrection with him? Will you surrender control in these circumstances? Will you get up from where you are and follow him into the place he's leading you? As Peter walks into the grave, the term that is used there is he was filled with wonder. Other translations say he marveled at what he saw. Now, it's not indicating that Peter has a complete return to faith or complete restoration in his relationship with Jesus. That comes later. But in this moment, that term wonder or marvel, it just kind of gives us this idea. It points us that Peter now has this inclination towards faith, that he has an inclination towards belief, that the Spirit has awakened something in Peter that he thought had died. You see, Peter thought his faith, his relationship with Jesus was a grave. And yet as he stands in the grave of Jesus and sees that it's empty, it's as if the Holy Spirit is beginning to speak to him and say, see, anything is possible. See, there is something more for you. And that's my prayer for you on Easter in 2020, is that whatever grave you are facing today, no matter how dark the night might be, no matter how deep the physical or emotional pain might run, no matter how great that the financial or vocational need might be, no matter how bad the relationship is torn apart, that today you will hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, that he can work in this space, he can work in your life, he can turn this grave into a garden. And you might not experience the fullness of that resurrection today. Everything might not be completely restored and renewed, but you can trust that what he is starting, he's going to finish. And my prayer for you is God begins to give you those inclinations of faith, that he begins to well up in your heart and mind with this idea of a brighter future is possible. A better tomorrow can come. That no matter how dark this night might be, this is not where I'm going to be forever. Peter leaves the tomb and returns to the disciples. And as far as we know, they just go back and now they're waiting to experience resurrection. Now, this is where you and I stand from the outside with the benefit of hindsight, knowing how the story ends. And we know Jesus comes and he restores them. We know he fills them with his Holy Spirit. We know he teaches them that the same power that raised him from the dead now dwells in them. And our experience of graves into gardens is made possible through the constant and consistent presence of that same Spirit in us. And so what it enables us to do is it enables us to understand that graves into gardens are two sides of the same coin. And so if you're at home right now, I'd encourage you at some point today or later in the day, look around your house and grab a coin. Maybe give one to every member of your family. Right, and almost every coin we have, they have heads and they have tails. Right, so it might be a dime, a penny, a nickel. It might be a silver dollar like I've got. But what I want to encourage you is maybe just put that in your pocket. Put it somewhere you're going to see it this week. And let it be a reminder to you that Jesus can turn every grave into a garden. Right, and so what I mean by that is the grave, the one side of the coin that the world saw as the final sign of Jesus' defeat, when you flip it and look at it from God's perspective, becomes the first and final sign of his victory. And the same is true in every situation in your life. So think of whatever that sad moment is. Think of whatever difficulty you're facing right now, right? Whatever you put on that side of the coin, that's your grave this morning. And the message of Easter is that grave can be transformed into a garden by the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be afraid of the dark moments. You don't have to be afraid of those seasons that you don't know how the story ends. If the relationship is tough this morning, that's okay. That grave that seems like it's going to end in divorce, that grave of the separated child that seems they're never going to return to the family, when Jesus works in those spaces, they become gardens of restoration, gardens of reconciliation, gardens of resurrection that tell the story of his power and his presence. Maybe your need this morning is financial or it's physical. Don't be afraid to name it. Don't be afraid to say it. Don't be afraid to cry out, Lord, I don't see how this is going to end in any positive way at all. Because here's the thing we know. If Jesus can handle death, then he can handle whatever we're facing today. And so my Easter prayer for you is that God will begin to give you the supernatural ability to see that every grave can be turned into a garden. Now that begins, first of all, with a relationship with Jesus. So if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life as your Savior and Lord, you can do that today. There's no better day than Easter to say yes to Jesus as the resurrected Savior. If you're making that decision this morning, it's just a very simple prayer. You're just going to pray, Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, will you come into my life? Will you be my Savior and my Lord? And if you're making that decision today, we would love to hear about it. If you will visit christianchapel.com/prayer and just let us know in just a brief sentence or two, hey, this is my name and today I said yes to Jesus. One of our pastoral staff will be in touch with you this week about how you can continue on that path as a follower of Christ. For those of us who have said yes to Jesus, we know that following him does not exempt us from difficulties in life. And so if you're facing a situation this morning that feels like a grave, may the story of Easter become the reality of your life. May the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwell in you. May it bring hope to your soul. May it bring life to your body. May it give your eyes the ability to see the path forward that God is laying for you. I'm going to finish by praying for us today, and then the band is going to lead us in a song that's just really going to drive this point home for us. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that the Easter story is not just an inspirational story we tell ourselves, but it is the facts of history that Christ died and rose again. And Jesus, we thank you that that empty grave still stands as a testimony to your power, to your ability to be more than a teacher or a role model, but to be the savior of our lives. So Lord, I pray for those who are saying yes to you for the first time today. They're beginning their relationship with you. Lord, as you forgive them of their sins, may you fill their hearts with joy. I pray for those who are following you, Lord, but they're facing some graves in their life right now. Will you come in your power? Will you come in your grace and convince them that you can turn this grave into a garden? Lord, we believe that what you have done is what you are still doing and what you will continue to do. So we ask, Lord, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead will now dwell in us and will now flow through us. We pray this all in the name of our resurrected Savior. Amen.
Well, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. And you came along, and you put me back together.
Hey, thanks for joining us to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. If you have specific prayer needs in your life, please let us know about those. Our pastoral staff is praying through those each week. You can drop those off at christianchapel.com/prayer. If you'd like to continue to worship with your giving, you can do that at christianchapel.com/give. Thank you again. May you have a blessed Easter as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.